sins. Christ alone. Well, my mom helps too once in a while. But it's the Christ in her. One thing God did kind of lead me to was a notebook I had that I haven't looked in for about a year. And I'm like, why do you want me to go to this notebook? And I'm looking in it, and there was a song, and I'm going to do it here in a minute, that was written by a roommate of mine when I was in Walla Walla, and his name's Ricky Martin. Not the Ricky Martin, but that is his name. And he lives in Tacoma and doing real well. I'm hoping to get him here for the convention. I've invited him, and it's a possibility he might make it. He and I studied Ziegler's books together while we were in Walla Walla, and I know Ricky really liked him and got a lot out of the books. And then when he got to Tacoma, he ran into a coworker that was into Ziegler's material and didn't have a home church to go to or anything. Anyway, they got to talk for a while then. And it's interesting how God puts different people in our places at just the right time, and why he puts the different people in our past. Sometimes we don't know, and sometimes we later find out. And I've had people from my past coming back this last week. When I was in fourth and fifth grade, I went to a private Christian school in Pasco, Washington, Riverview Baptist Church and School. And the pastor there is Pastor Paisley. And he, after all these years, had remembered me. And it turns out his wife has cancer. He had heard, my ex-wife works at the hospital where I get my chemotherapy, and his wife was in the room next to it. And he saw the name Forsberg, and they got talking, and anyway, he wanted to see me, so he went to the desk and asked when I'd be in next. And so when I came in next to get a shot this few days ago, I had to get a Procrit shot to boost my red blood cells. Your Grace is probably familiar with that too much. So went in for my shot, and the nurse says, "Do you know Pastor Paisley?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, he's in a room over here, and he's been asking for you." And so I went in there, and turns out the room was full of people, and he's all, "Oh, little Kenny Forsberg. You're all grown up. Do you remember little Kenny Forsberg?" And that's what they called me back then. So we had a nice little talk and reunion. It turns out his wife got cancer same month and year as myself. She has I think it was ovarian or something in that area, uterine cancer or something. But she got it the same month and year. It went away the same time as mine and came back the same time as mine. And she's on the exact same chemotherapy as me. And it's, although it's hitting her heart, hers is spread into other organs now. And I'm looking at it through the natural mind. It doesn't look good, but we'll see what God has in mind for her. But it was sad to see her all hooked up to hoses and whatnot in the hospital. And he prayed for me, and then he asked what church I was going to, and I told him, little country church in Benton City, and he said, "What kind of church is it?" Because Baptists are real good at wanting to know those kind of things. That's important to them. And I said, it's non-denominational, and luckily he didn't ask any further what that meant. Otherwise, I'd have to tell them, "Well, do you remember the churches you told us about when I went there? You told us not to go to those ones where they speak in funny languages and maybe even get out there on once in a while on some of that new age type stuff just a little bit. Remember those churches you told me about?" And that'd be the one. Yeah, that's where I'm at. But So luckily we didn't go there. But he had asked before I left if everyone here at my church would pray for his wife. And so maybe we could do that here at the end of the service, together pray for his wife. So the pastor of Riverview Baptist Church will lift his wife up and his family up. They're going through a tough time. So anyway, this song that I had looked up was a song called I'm Free on the Inside. My friend Ricky wrote the words, and he came to me and he says, can you put music to this? And I said, sure, let's do it. And we made a song, and he asked me just recently if I could get it onto a CD for him, so hopefully it'll turn out good, and we'll put it on a CD for him and send it to him. And as some of you, probably everybody here knows my background. If not, I'll just go through it real quick with what happened a few years ago when I was in the penitentiary. I don't talk about it really much at all because I don't feel like it was me. It wasn't me. It was the other guy, but it was the old man. I mean, I know who was there and I know who came out. I know the old man went in and a new man came out. And you can applaud that. It's okay. Because that's all Christ. In every victory, it was in Christ alone. And because it was there that I discovered freedom. It was there that I discovered who I was. It was in the imprisonment that I discovered the freedom. During the imprisonment, without the enclosure, the imprisonment, the binding, I wouldn't have had the freedom. So it took that. Just as last time when I talked, it took the good and the evil. It took the positive and the negative from off that battery I showed. It takes both to create the light that we are, the light of God on this earth, the light of men. It takes both. And it took the imprisonment to find the freedom of who I am. Because, you know, God had me go through that for a reason. I was raised Christian. I gave my heart to Jesus 100 times in the Baptist church when I was a child. In case the first 99 didn't work. Because I wasn't sure. Every time I did something bad, they told me I was going to go to hell and I had to repent again and get saved again and say the sinner's prayer. So I would do that just to make sure because I didn't want to miss out on heaven. And then all my life, I was active in the church, but I always had a problem, and that was drugs always came into the picture at some point. And even on drugs, I was still a good person. I did things in the church, and I was off and on it my whole life. Marijuana was my main drug. It was a drug of choice. And the problem is when I would get it, what I thought was a release from it, I mean, everybody tried everything through the years to get over it. They prayed the marijuana demons out of me along with the tobacco demons. That never worked. Everybody tried everything, and I tried everything. I took some classes. I went through a year of an outpatient program at Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital, and it worked. It helped a whole bunch. I got off drugs and stuff, but I always returned. And never understood why, and would always beat myself up over it too. And it's because I didn't find the true freedom from it. I found ways to cover it up or ways to get over it for now, but I never got to the root of the problem. And never got to the freedom of being really free from it. And the only freedom from it is when you discover who you really are. That's when you become free of it. It was when during a time in my, I don't know how long I was there, 5 years, 6 years, somewhere in there. And there was one point where I was in a hole, in the hole, it's a prison within the prison, for something I didn't do. But I was falsely accused and put in this hole for, I think it was around 28 days It's like a solitary confinement, and there's no windows, no light of day, no nothing. You don't get to go do anything. And but it was during that time, and it was hard. I was ready to go crazy. But it was during that time, Larry, being a minister, got to come and visit. And he would bring me the Word, bring me Ziegler's books. And he started showing me who I was. He started saying, "You've got the seed of God in you. What can come from the seed of God? What can come from the seed of God?" I said, "God." And I'm like, "Wow, that's in me. I mean, God's being produced in me." You know, that word seed, sperma, which means to reproduce after its own kind. To reproduce after its own kind. So God's making us just like Him. We are becoming Him. We are one with Him. And I was starting to discover that. In Ziegler's books, he would say to look in the mirror and say, when you wake up every morning, look in the mirror and say, "I'm the righteousness of God on this earth." And I had a hard time doing that at first. Me? No. That's blasphemy anyway, from what I was told growing up. I can't be the righteousness of God on this earth. That's God. I'm just the sinner that keeps making mistakes, doing the wrong things, going back to drugs. I'm not the righteousness of God on this earth. But the more I said it, the more I confessed it, because what comes out of your mouth is what you become. It's what you confess. The tongue is life or death. And so I spoke life, and I spoke it every day. And after a while, you do start to believe it. You start to see it. And I got to get out of my cell one day to go to a AANA type meeting. So I mean, you do anything to get out of your cell. They could be in there giving you the history of Girl Scout cookies or something. It doesn't matter. You want out of your cell, and let's go see what they have to talk about. So I went to this AANA meeting. Plus, I wanted to be off drugs and stay off drugs. So I went to go see what it was about. And oh my God, these poor people, they came in from outside the prison, outside the jails. They're free, supposedly. But they came in, and I just was totally, they were ready to depress me. The guy says, "Hi, my name's Mike, and I'm an alcoholic." And I almost lost it again today, and lost it yesterday. And if it wasn't for me getting to call my sponsor, I would have been failed again. And he says, "And this is the way it's been every day of my life." I says, "And that's freedom? That's freedom from alcohol and drugs? Is to every day having to fight it and to have to call someone to help you?" Now, anyone that's in AANA or know anyone, I mean, it's a wonderful program, and some people need it, and I'm not knocking it. There are people that have to have it and be there. But what I saw was all of a sudden here, I'd spent all my time in solitary confinement learning about doing a crash course in Sonship Kingdom teaching, and I'm finding out who I am in Christ. I'm a new creation being. I'm not a drug addict. Christ doesn't do drugs. I'm in God's image. And they're sitting here saying no. They're confessing every day. And they says, "This is how we do it here." This was this particular group anyway. This is how they do it. They confess every day that they are powerless over the drug. I won't confess that, because what I'm going to confess is who I am in God, in Christ Jesus. And that's His righteousness. I am His hands and feet walking on this earth. I'm not this sinner, drug addict that's powerless over all these drugs. No, I have freedom in Christ Jesus. I never went back to another one of those meetings. That was just, it was sad, and I pray for those people. Well, they're there for where they're at for reasons, and whatever it takes to get off the drugs, if that's what they need for right now, that's good. But what they really need to know is who they are, and start confessing who they are. Let those words go out. and be made manifest. The word of life, of who they really are, that they're free. And no matter what bondage we get ourselves into, whether it's a bondage of drugs, whether it's a physical prison, whether it's bondages in our finances, whether it's bondages in relationships, whatever those bondages are, we have freedom in Christ because of who we are. We don't have to look at the external. I was in a prison, but I was free on the inside. And those people were outside the walls, but they were in worse bondage than the people behind the bars. And I'll go ahead and do this song now. Free on the Inside. It was, like I said, the words are written by Ricky Martin, and I put the music together for him. And this was just kind of showing the little bit of the heartache and the things that he was going through. Because when we first got there, we knew we needed to change. We knew we needed something new in our lives. We knew the old way wasn't working. And God was starting to show us things, both of us. New things were coming to us. Larry had not yet come into my life at this point and brought me Sonship Kingdom teachings yet. We hadn't read Ziegler's books yet when this song was written. But already God was opening our eyes, setting the path for that to come later. In my prison cell, many think this could be hell, but not me, because I have Christ in my life, knowing that my Lord is near, I won't have anything to fear. I pray to God that I do what is right. The chains have gone away. My sins have been forgiven. I have a new life today. I'm free. Thank God I'm free. I'm walking along in the prison yard, thinking sometimes life sure is hard, but my Lord, He's walking right along with me. I try to overlook the prison walls, I can't because they seem way too tall, but my Jesus is helping me to see that I'm free on the inside. The chains have gone away. My sins have been forgiven. I have a new life today. I'm free. Thank God I'm free. On the inside, I of my little girl. She is without me in this world. I know that God, He's watching out for her. I called her yesterday on the phone. She says, Dad, I can't wait till you get home. I praise the Lord for taking care of her. And I'm free on the inside. The chains have gone away. My sins have been forgiven. I have a new life today. 'Cause I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free. I'm free. Thank God.
I'm free
on the inside. The chains have gone away. My sins have been forgiven. I have a new life today. 'Cause I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Thank God. I'm free. On the inside, I'm free on the inside. You know, it was tough in prison. There's things I don't like thinking about it, talking about it sometimes. There's a lot of rough stuff. Losing your children for lengths of time. I missed watching my little girl grow up. And I haven't cried for a long time on this stuff. But I've watched the hardest of criminals cry. They go through it. They missed holidays. They missed their people. They missed their families. They're trapped behind those walls. Some of them for all of their lives. And it's the hardest thing. But the ones that make it are the ones that find, that freedom. It's the ones that find out who they really are. I had to learn that I had to let go of so much. My kids, I had to let go. I would hear different things. Letters from them, phone calls where they're going through different problems and different things would happen. Just regular life going on day after day, month after month, year after year. And I wasn't there to be a part of it. And I had to let go and give it to God. Because that's when you have freedom. Is when you can let go and realize this isn't mine to have to worry about. This isn't mine to take care of. This is my Father's. This is His work. This is His land. Everything that He's doing. He's tilling the soil. He's planting the seeds. He's growing the crop. He's the master gardener. He's doing it all. And I have to just let go, and then the freedom comes. So there's freedom from drugs, there's freedom from prisons, there's freedoms from all the bondages in our life as we discover and confess with our mouth who we are in God. His righteousness, we're the new creation being, we're free. And no matter what's going on around us, no matter what kind of an imprisonment we're in, that God's there to give us the freedom. And you can't be free if you haven't first been imprisoned. There's no freedom until you realize that you've been imprisoned. And that's where the old man came in. The old man had no freedom. But then he discovered who he really was. I think that's the gist of my message, is the freedom. Either that or my mind's back at the washing machine and dryer again. But these are some of the things that God laid on my heart the last few weeks, is what I'm speaking. And I even wore my DARE shirt. I came prepared. All last week, I'm like, God, what do you want me to talk about? And I just wasn't getting anything. But I went into the closet, and I said, I'm going to wear this shirt. God's telling me to wear this shirt. Huh?